This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. It might seem like quite an undertaking to commit to a 10-year project, but that's exactly what Indonesian artists Irwan Ahmed and Tita Salina have done with their Flame of the Pacific project. It is a series of artistic and social interventions that range from Indonesia to New Zealand and reflect on the geopolitical issues of that region. Irwan and Tita are here with me today to tell us more about this huge undertaking of theirs. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for being here. I think it's such a sort of wide-ranging project that I'm not sure if it's a fair question to ask, but can you explain what the Flame of the Pacific is?
Yeah, I try to explain. I know it's like a very complex story in this region, especially if we're looking from the history, but we are both an artist, so we have the space to imagine and to make the intervention in this vulnerable place. So we start the project in 2014, so now it's already
five years.
So I think at the end, some project it's really reflect our personal experience, but we try to put on a big picture of the geopolitical in the Pacific Rim, which is one of the heaven on earth, but also the deadliest place to live.
So back in 2014, when you first started on this project, what inspired the both of you to do it in the first place?
Well, actually, we don't really, at that time in 2014, we didn't really create on purpose this project. So at that time, we were in Tokyo. We were having an artist in residency for 3 months, and at that time, I think we really influenced by the condition at Japan after the earthquake in 2011.
The Fukushima
disasters, and also people, I think most of the people in Japan, they still talking about this issue so much, and then we as an artist, we intrigued by this kind of catastrophe, and we saw like some similarity in our place because we also have a big disaster in Aceh, also tsunami in 2004, right? Yeah. So and then yeah, we kind of make like a reflections for that disasters, and then from then on, actually 2 years. 2 years after 2014, we realized that, oh, okay, so we somehow we created some projects within these regions.
Yeah, so I think in the very basic relation, for example, I was stuck when I was a child watching the volcano eruption or during the Reformasi movement in Jakarta. There is like a riot and some violence happen in front of our eyes, even today. So in this kind of situation, it's very hard to me to accept. Some it's already print in our mind and become like strongest memory that I could remember. So maybe the idea to have utopia is already run by the government or by the system. So we have different kind of narration, which is the dystopia. It's very possible because during this trip, for example, we visited some affected area by tsunami and also some like a dark history of Indonesian past, but also maybe the situation with the ecological problems in Southeast Asia, for example, the haze, something like that. So we try to track the flames in this region, but we don't have any big power, only two of us. So quite often our encounter, it's very natural. We just have a conversation and play a little bit with the destiny. So we don't know what will come out, but we keep following our intuition. But so far we survived. So maybe that's the best thing what we can get from these trips.
Yeah. Mm. You are both from Indonesia. Where in Indonesia are you from?
My parents originally coming from West Sumatra. But I was born in South Sumatra. But then when I was 8, I moved to Jakarta. And then since then, I live in Jakarta until today.
Mm. And Irwan?
Yeah, I live in small town. So I was born there and moved to Jakarta when I was new university. So now I live in Jakarta.
Mm. So both of you, are from Indonesia. What made you want to expand this project, not just to your own country? What made you want to include the whole Pacific Rim region?
I think it's a very long story, what we discover from our island that we live, which is Java. So we have to track back like 1.2 million years ago. So when the first civilization come from Africa to Java, so the migration come along that land, and now we kind of trace it back to the north. So, and from that period, it's very clear that not human, but Homo erectus facing extinction because they couldn't get along with the climate change. So I think we are facing the same situation right now. A lot of problems, and the modern life also become some problematic, the needs, the standard. So for me, the idea of the nation, of the border of the nation, it's become very difficult to solve this. For example, in our annual disaster, we call it ASAP or haze.
Yes.
So how this problem, it's become easily escalating in the political terms because nobody can take responsible. Or, for example, when the Malaysia offering help, Indonesian government, they have their own reject because ego. So in this situation, the how the idea of nation failed to adapt with the new catastrophe, which is caused by the race of economic power from broad country. So maybe our limit time is, we have to push that limit, not only stay in Indonesia, but we see the world not only one spot, but in the whole world, in the system. So, but I think the Ring of Fire, which is one of the most interesting site-specific place for us to imagine.
I think the similarity of the catastrophe or also the natural disasters happen in this region that really attract us. Why we want to do not specifically in Indonesia only, and also I don't know. I think it's kind of like the universe, like design, this specifically designed for us because since 2014 until now, so every city, so every country that we visited is almost always on the Ring of Fire region. So somehow, for us, it's kind of like a sign. And then, I think it's really also inspired us to make a project.
So you call what you do artistic or social interventions. What does that actually mean? What are the individual undertakings that you do as part of this project?
I think at the end, it looks like storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring some evidence or some like real story from the daily of life. But this story, it's not come from the big company or the big heroes. So it's just like ordinary people or even forgotten society, like undocumented or like minority groups or indigenous or even some people who facing death penalty, for example. So this kind of situation, there is no space in today's condition. So for us, this kind of different society bring more universal meaning about humanity. So for example, during the last month, it was a riot in Jakarta. So during the massive air raids from the tear gas, it's a bit terrifying, but in the same time, you see people collaboratively, they're working together, they help each other. So there is an hopes in this kind of catastrophe. Mm. So maybe we would like to see what kind of power who can bring by the grassroots community who already mostly quite often forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also, like Irwan said, that we often work with these marginalized or minority groups. quite often, and also we can see that the way they act to survive is actually outside of the law system, and that's really amaze us because it works, and they really and for us it's kind of like interventions, and although people can say that it's wrong or it's not good, but for us it's really it's really amazing how they really work in this kind of situation. It's kind of like a limited situation, but they still can find a way how to deal with this kind of catastrophe situations.
Could you give me some examples of the kind of outcome or works that you've produced up till this point that you've presented to an audience?
Yeah, for example, in this region, especially in Malacca Straits, it's about the power of the nationalism raised up and the power of the border. So every nation tried to claim their own territory. So, and it's cost so much to protect this border. So, but there's also another system who just side by side, for example, the trafficking. Mm. So this morning we had the conversation with one person who can manage to send you to Malaysia from Indonesia without any kind of problems. So, and we calculate the budget and everything. So for me, why this system exists? Because there is injustice in the formal system. And then why behind these people wants to take risk across the sea to get a job, because they hardly find job in their hometown. So at the end, we cannot see black and white in this condition. So of course, one of example, our final product, it's about 8 ways to enter Singapore illegally.
Yes, I was very interested to hear that.
Yeah, I think actually what I did, it's normal. Let's say 50 years ago, it's normal. Everybody do it. Mm-hmm. But now it's not anymore. So actually what I'm doing, it's try of bring the history or some like remains of the memories through the condition, real condition in the Malacca Straits.
Yeah, maybe I can tell about the journey that we are doing right now. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we call it tracking the flame. Well, actually, until now we don't really know what's the outcome for these projects. But during this journey, we collect things that mm-hmm. we found on the road or from the people, and also we collect the stories. And this journey, we started from Jakarta, so it will be finished in Bangkok. And then we committed to use public transport, like overland and oversea, like bus, trains.
So no air travel?
No air travel.
Right. So from Jakarta to Bangkok, mm-hmm. only public transport and sea transport.
Yeah, right. And sea transport.
And what was the thought process behind wanting to do that?
We both did a lot of travelings. And most of the travelings we do with air travels, and it's fast, and we can just be here and then 7 hours later we will be in Tokyo, but actually we miss so much. Like we only sit there and on an airplane and watching the TV on the monitor, like a lot of films, why not we doing like a slow journey, like really really taking our patience and really feeling the journey. So and also trying to try like the opposite way, like a lot of people now forget about this kind of journey, and actually our grandparents did that long time ago.
We do need to take a break, but when we come back, I would also like to hear more about how you view the work that you do and what its place is within, I suppose, the body of work that's being created regionally in this area. I'm speaking with Indonesian artists Irwan Ahmed and Tita Salina about their 10-year artistic and social project called The Flame of the Pacific. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking with Indonesian artists Irwan Ahmed and Tita Salina, who are behind a 10-year artistic and social project on the Pacific Rim region called The Flame of the Pacific. Before the break, you gave a couple of examples of the kinds of projects that you've been undertaking, right? And one of the questions that came to mind for me was, how do you differentiate the kind of work that you're doing? What makes the work artistic versus research, for instance? How do you draw that distinction?
So for me, research is never stop. So it's like part of our journey. It's doing the research. But at the end, as an artist, we have the space to make a statement. So there is a room outside different kind of practice, for example, compared to architects or even engineer or a historian. So we have more like crazy idea to reflect that. For example, we're doing a research, quite long research, about the evolution, which is starting when the human start to upright walk and then start to use the hands with the cognitive revolution. But my question is, are they smiles? So this question is like really try to see what happened in the past.
Sorry, you said your question was, do they smile?
Do they smile?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do they smile?
Yeah.
So, and we want to see like, and why they extinct. So at the end of the day, I mean, we very hard to imagine what is the outcome, what is the statement. But after we doing some research, we make a confident statement that they have specific kind of smile. So we name that smile, it's apocalyptic smile. Because they extinct. So I think we Homo sapien, we have to learn this kind of skill to smile facing the catastrophe. Otherwise, your life is very miserable because soon the world is not friendly anymore.
As artists, do you also have more freedom or leeway to interpret and present these findings versus someone working in a more academic or research kind of environment?
Yeah. I think we do have really a lot of freedom and a lot of flexible, because we work with imaginations, so imagination is unlimited. So we can make anything like looks impossible be possible, and also during the research, our finding from the research is really inspiring us. And. And yeah, like for example, this journey that we are doing, so a lot of inspiration we already had. So and also we've the objects that we found like in some locations, and it reminds us to the research that we did like 4 years ago, for example. And then we want so next time we want to make these relations of research findings in the future, for example.
Can I add?
Yeah, of course.
For example, we met with one of the treasure hunts in Palembang, South Sumatra. Then he discovered a letter. The letter at the time written on the plate of tin.
Tin?
Tin. Yeah. Tin. And it's folded, so you cannot open again because it will broke. So it's a beautiful shape because it's already created maybe since 7th century. So when I touch, it's already created such a beautiful patina. But when I realize it's a male actually inside that. There's somebody make a beautiful carve on that surface. So when I open my phone, and at the same time, I got another email from my friend around, from across the continent. But I just realized my content of the smartphone also contain a lot of tins. So I think if we see from that different kind of massive or large scale of time, actually the medium is still the same. So in this condition, there is the space for us to play with that, because maybe if we imagine what will happen, how people send a message in the next centuries, you can easily back to the past. They already did it.
The one thing that struck me about when I read about your project was the fact that this kind of compilation of stories, it's almost anthropological, right? And it's something that historically was always done from the outside, typically Western sort of collection of stories from a particular region. Do you view yourself as now taking control of a narrative or you know, our own stories from this part of the world?
Yeah, it's a surprise if I just want to study about Indonesia. Most of the Indonesian is from European, for example. So they study us, the mentality of colonial.
Yes.
And if you want to know about, for example, flora or fauna in Sulawesi, you have to go to London. So it's a very strange, but now we can challenge that knowledge, which is maybe this is our culture, but also open for other people to study. But for us, it's better understanding there is some such kind of layers. For me, it's very specific that we can get no more better than a foreigner. For example, language, or the body gesture, or even unspoken language, which is most difficult to understand by the foreigner. So, yeah, this kind of benefit for us is like maybe it's our time to take this journey.
Yeah.
I think it's also, we're not really have a purpose like as a historian or like anthropological, but we also want to learn how the history make actually. And also, for all this time, like in our school, we only learn like the history from the Western perspective most of the time. And yeah, I think this time as an artist, we have this big opportunity to learn really by meeting with people, like doing a lot of encounters with strangers and especially Indonesia. And yeah, it's really it's really incredible about the finding. Like Irwan said, like the benefit that we as a local Indonesian, we not only learning about the language, but also can understand other things.
For example, we visited one site. It's quite terrible. It was a massacre in the 1998. So we were there.
Where was this?
In Lampung. So we tried to find an evidence, which is already around 30 years ago. Some farmers, they told me that sometimes they still find the remain of the bones by the victims. It was around 240 victims all died. But when we tried to go there slowly, we met one person who like secretly collect all the remains, and he put inside the tree trunks.
Coconut
tree trunks. It's kind of, he's saving all this memory very personally and very beautiful inside the coconut tree. So can you imagine that coconut, when you drink it, it's come from the tragedy from the past. But in the same time, he keep it. So we get some artifact and we bring tonight to see how this beautiful remains from the tragic past.
How do you present these stories and these findings to a sort of a general audience that may not come from that kind of knowledge or awareness of all of these different issues?
I think in general, people like story. So sometimes we make fake story, people still like it. But if we make true story, people more like. So especially in Indonesia, when the history ruling by the power, people very demand, want to know what is the truth. The truth is somewhere. So when we claim this is the truth from our version, they like it. And I think for young generation, this emptiness, that feeling to get more soul by the know the truth, it's important. So they, it quite often we make a performance like in the middle of the night, like even 3 o'clock in the morning, but people show up because they want to be part of the history and they don't want to miss it. I think when you have uncertain future, that you keep to that history, it's part of the things that you can more confident to face it.
Do you find that when you present your works to audiences outside of Indonesia, like for instance, you're doing it in Kuala Lumpur as well, do you change or adapt the way that you present your works, or is it the same everywhere?
I think it's quite adaptable. Yeah, we make some adjustment. According where we present the works. Like for example, in the last time we present Name Laundering in Tokyo.
Name Laundering is the Singapore project.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, that's the Singapore. Yeah. The eight plans.
Eight ways to get
eight
into
ways
Singapore.
To get yeah. in Singapore. So yeah, we make adjustments. So because of course geographically, Japan and Indonesia and to Malacca Strait, it's kind of like a long distance. So we try to make geographically we add more information.
You've actually been working on this now for 5 years, so it's, you know, pretty much at the midpoint of your 10-year project. Have there been themes or commonalities that have emerged for you that kind of gives you a stronger idea of what the final product is going to be?
I think right now we're thinking about books. So book is maybe one of the best medium to compile all the journey, all the experience, our thought, conversation.
We wrote a lot of keywords, and it's really helped us a lot to focus, because it's easy to get lost because the region is so big. Mm-hmm. And I think the main focus is about the humanity crisis and also ecological problems within the regions.
Is that what you started off with, or has that sort of happened over time?
I think that's the most interest, that we have. Yeah, so far all I can think of is like a publishing, like a book. Mm. Yeah.
But maybe also memory. So it's many long-term cultural archives could survive because someone memorized, like in terms of Mahabharata, from mm-hmm. epic from India, who accepted in Java become a day culture. So the memory to keep it, it's brain. I think human brain is the best way to keep the work. So,
And also maybe like the Indonesian culture, especially, we are really familiar with oral. Culture.
Oral history and oral storytelling.
Yeah, it's very strong. Mm. I think it's very different compared to Western. Western, sometimes they need something fixed. But in our journey, for example, a lot of story that we got not from the books, but like really through deep conversation. It's like very profound, you to lead somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. For each of you, is there one incident or one story or one event that comes to mind when you think back so far that for you really sticks out or sort of surprised you in some way?
Mm. Maybe the performance in Malacca Strait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I made a performance like it's very simple things that I have to flow in the border between Indonesia and Singapore, but like 1 minute before I did, the old man angry and stopped me.
Mm.
So he said, I'm not really polite to make intervention to the culture, so I have to respect him. But I, at the end of the day, at night, I still do it secretly.
So you were, I'm trying to understand, what were you trying to do? You were floating?
Floating in Malacca Strait.
In the sea?
In the sea.
Right, okay, yeah. And so you were stopped by a local man?
Yeah, by a local man. And he said, it's not you, you're not right to bring your own narration to our culture. Mm-hmm. And for me, yeah, but why you keep this development happen in your place? So I can do my own thing as well. So
why is that so memorable for you?
Because when I did secretly, I almost died.
No. Oh.
It's so dangerous, like the waves, you can suck you to the bottom of the sea, mm-hmm. and no matter you can swim or not. So the current, it's very strong. And I just tell to Tita on the way back to the hotel, a shock, like really.
Hmm.
I think that man, it's make me upset, but at the same time, he saved my life.
Right, yeah. I was just thinking that it, in a weird way, it kind of ended up being a good thing that he was so unwelcoming. And Tita, what about you? Any sort of memory that stands out in this 5-year journey for you?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I don't know. I somehow it's quite often happens to me that it always come back to. I mean, after we finish the journey, we come back to our home in Jakarta. So I think Jakarta is the main is the biggest main interest for me personally, because it can consider my hometown. Although I wasn't born there, I lived there and I saw the changing, the drastic changing, and yeah, and a lot of inspirations I got from that city. So
maybe
I think
the relation with the garbage.
Yeah, and the yes, and this never ending ecological problems, and yeah, everything. I mean, it's like a supermarket of problems, like Jakarta as a big city. So. Of course, it's like a supermarket of inspirations as well. So
for you, it keeps coming back to Jakarta.
Yes, yeah.
I'm also curious about what stage or what phase is the project currently on? Is it you're tracking the flame? Is that the current part of the project? What comes after this?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think, yeah, we would like to give a bit focus to Apocalyptic Smile.
That's
the next project. Mm-hmm. So I hope it will grow to somewhere or something. I don't know what going to be looks like. So maybe outside our practice a bit. So, but we're still working on.
So yeah. That's hopefully what comes after Tracking the Flame.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the closest one, I think.
Well, thank you very much. It's such a fascinating project. I feel like I have to book you for 5 years from now so that you can come and tell me more about what you've done. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. You're welcome. Thank you for inviting us to the studio.
I've been speaking with Indonesian artists Irwan Ahmed and Tita Salina, who are behind a 10-year artistic and social project on the Pacific Rim region. It's called The Flame of the Pacific, and some of this spans Malaysia as well. So to check out their work, you can visit their Instagram pages. Just search for Irwan Ahmed or Tita Salina. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.